Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Praise God. Gloria?
Yes, sir.
Before we go any further, now, we're taping this at our place here in Fort Worth because we couldn't go to Arkansas. You understand that? And today is Passover. And so we're going to talk some about that. But Monday, Gloria and I will have been married 58 years. Praise God.
I get the trophy.
Yay! Yeah, she she gets the trophy. She gets the trophy. Praise God. She really does.
Because I'm kidding.
In 58 years of marriage, I don't remember an argument. Now, I tried. You understand? Particularly Kenneth B.C., I really tried. But that was only for 6 months. We got saved 6 months after we got married. And I asked her to marry me on the first date. And 6 months after that, we got married. And then 6 months after that, we got born again. And 6 months, now 3 months after that, woo, got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
But tell them what I said when you asked me to marry you. It's very short.
Yeah. We walked up on her dad's porch and I said, Gloria, will you marry me? And she said, okay. And just went in the house. Just walked in the house. I didn't get a kiss, Tim. I just stood there and said, blah, blah, blah.
Or, I didn't know you wanted a speech.
She said when she got inside, she said, what have I done? I don't even know this guy. Oh, well, I'll get out of it later. And here it is, 58 years and...
I'm going to stay with it. It's too late to get out.
I love you, darling.
I love you, too.
You're the best thing that ever happened to me. You know that, don't you? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we do thank you today for this broadcast. We thank you for victory over this enemy that's hit the world. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God.
And today... It's been prophesied that today, Passover Day, is the end of it. And we take it, praise God. Yes. And we have it.
Yes.
And we forgive if we have aught against any, praise God. And we thank you for our victory. And this is the victory that overcomes the world and overcomes sickness and overcomes disease and overcomes this COVID-19. Glory to God. Killed and dead.
Yes, that's
in the name that's above every name.
Praise God.
In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Amen.
Amen.
Think about this. Tim, think about this. Gloria. Pandemic is different from an epidemic. An epidemic is local. A pandemic is worldwide. Mm. And it struck me on that, our communication, you know, just, what was it, a couple of days ago with Daystar?
Yes.
It struck me, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Pan love has overcome pandemic.
Good.
Pan love. Boy, that's it, isn't it? That's it, isn't it?
Good.
Praise God forevermore. Now, those of you that are not familiar with those terms, you remember Pan American Airlines?
Yeah.
World. Pan American World. In other words, they're not local. American Airlines, back there in those days, was local. Went back in the late 30s and 40s and so forth. They were local. This was whenever flying smaller airplanes.
Yeah.
But Pan-American were flying those great big multi-engine flying boats that could go anywhere in the world. Pan. And that explanation is, why do they call it pandemic? Because it's worldwide, not local. Well, this is pan love. Glory to God. Now, there's something else that I want to share with you about today that this is a high Sabbath. It's very sad to me that there's so little study concerning the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And people have been trying to work that out in the book of Matthew. Let's turn over there to Matthew. And look at 12:40. Matthew 12:40. Now, you know, where's my tank? Yeah. You know that Jesus did not say something that did not exactly come to pass. And they've been working with this and messing with this and what, and why this don't work, and what, huh? As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in hell, in the heart of the earth. You can't make it work. If he went in the grave on Friday night, it just doesn't work. Well, you know, we just won't talk about that much. Now, wait a minute. Yeah, we are. We're going to talk about that right now because it is happening this year. Now, you're seeing this in the second week of May, but here we are in the second week of April. So, we go to the 19th chapter of John. John chapter 19, the 31st verse. John, let's see, am I right? No, yeah, 19. Verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, listen. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath was a high day. It was on Wednesday and not Friday night. 3 days and three nights. And this is today is high Sabbath. Why? Because you got two. Today and then Saturday or Friday night. And he was crucified on Wednesday night instead of Friday night.
Don't ask me to repeat that, okay?
Well, and I've worked it all out. Wednesday at 6 and so, and there it is. And you can work it out. It's easy to do. And there are study Bibles that'll give you that. Now then, all right, thank you, Jesus. We're going to be talking about all this week and all next. We've had a lot of things happening and just all kinds of troubles and through this virus and all that. So, and we've had marvelous things happen in our ministries and so forth. But, I mean, you have to go back to the fundamentals of faith, particularly in times of trouble and particularly in times of extended trouble. Now, 9/11 was days. This thing's turned into months. And when it's extended like that, and you're isolated, and you're particularly if you're a fussy family, and you're just getting strife in the family, just want to run one another out of the room, you better get a hold of yourself. You better get a hold of your nasty self. You better take charge of your mouth and your heart and your brain. Because you know better than that. Where there's strife, there's confusion, and every evil work. This thing is an evil work. Praise God. Now, Gloria and I mean, we came home from church a few Sundays ago and just charged out in front of our front door, and praise God, we simulated. Man, I took 12th chapter of the book of Exodus and simulated putting the blood over the doorpost of our house, glory to God, and drew a bloodline, and COVID-19, you're not crossing this
line.
That's
right.
You're not coming here. Bless the name of the Lord God Almighty. You're not coming through this door. And this door represents every door of this house. It represents every door up the hill there in our headquarters. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
And every other place, it represents the door of our bodies. Praise God. That is true, true, strong immunity. Now, it's good and be strong in your immune system like Gloria and I are. And, well, Brother Copeland, at your age, I'll be this stronger when I'm 100. So get off of it. Why? Because of our diets and because the routine of our lives. Amen. We keep our bodies at all times completely saturated with vitamin D. And vitamin D, but especially vitamin C. And I have little test strips to check the vitamin C, and it just stays just packed with it all the time. And I could go into a number of other things. But, hey, man, we're the untouchables. You need to be too. All right, now then. Mark 11:22, of course. Turn in your Bibles there with me. And verse 22, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. There's your answer right there. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
Yeah.
I said, have faith in God. Oh, Brother Copeland, we are stuck in this house. Have faith in God. Well, what about the children? They're not in school. Have faith in God. Now, Gloria said something just a few moments ago. Just dynamite. If you're not believing God, you're believing something else.
That's right.
Yeah, if you're not believing God. And she said this. She said, if you don't believe in God, you're believing in something else. There's not God and the devil and then you. No, no. Every human being is a believer. You believe something all the time.
Right.
Let me give you an illustration here. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, in his inner being, in his spirit, but shall believe that those things, or shall believe that those words which he saith shall come to pass, he will have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, because of that, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe. When you pray, exercise your faith. When you pray, believe that you receive them. Yeah. Now, Gloria brought this out years and years ago. She's never preached healing school without it. And it is just turned into a massive revelation, particularly in the Word of Faith community. And look it up for yourself. Believe and notice, receive. Receive. Believe you receive them. What? Take it. Look it up. Look it up in your concordance someplace. Look
That's
it up.
What it means.
It means take it.
That's right.
It means take it. Think about, now our grandson Jonathan is one of the most outstanding college quarterbacks in the country. And going into his junior year this year at University of Incarnate Word down in San Antonio, Texas. Now, as accurate as he is. And I'm saying this because he's my grandson. It's uncanny. His accuracy and his game sense, that where he just turns and fires and just throw it right over the shoulder of his receiver. Right here.
Yeah.
Now, there's been times, if that young man doesn't take it, I don't care how good Jonathan's pass was.
Yeah.
It doesn't even count. It's an incomplete pass.
If he doesn't receive it.
He hasn't received. His receiver, that's what, his taker.
Yeah.
His taker. And I've seen it. Oh, I tell you, the young man he had last year that it was, he graduated, but that's all right. We're working on another one, and he is good. But I'm telling you, if it wasn't here, he'd take it up here, he'd take it up here, he'd grab it here. He's a taker.
I think I've seen him jump to receive it.
Oh, you kidding me? That young man just jumped and grabbed that ball. And you take a combination like that, I want you to know they're hard beat now.
Yeah, that's right.
A combination of the giver and the receiver. Jesus.
Yeah.
Is he quarterback? Glory in him. And like the guy said, he don't never miss.
No, he
doesn't ever miss. Glory to God. Now, it's you, and it's me. We're the ones, it's you and I, that must receive it. Take it. What happens? When you take it, I have it. Glory to God, I have it.
Believe you receive when you pray.
Yes. Yeah. Take it right
there. That works for quarterbacks, or it works for you.
Yes, it does. That's good. So, but it's right when you pray. It's not later. Yeah. It's not
and
before.
And then you don't let it go.
Now, you notice what Jesus said, but believes in his heart, the inner man, the hidden man of the heart, Peter called him.
Yeah.
The hidden man. You are a spirit being. You, man or woman, you can live without your body. Because the moment to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, I don't care whether you're born again or not. That's a fact. The only difference is where you're going to spend eternity. And either way, you have what you say. But let me give you an idea here about how that works. Gloria? I think I'll... Now, forget about the virus. This is normal times, okay? I think I'll go down to the store. That's mental. I think
that's a step in the right direction.
Hell yeah, but
okay.
All right. Thank you, Glory, for that.
I couldn't resist.
Don't get me tickled on this thing now like you did. Well, we're not at the breakfast table. You
okay,
can't get me tickled
okay.
Where I can't talk here like you do in the house. Then you get me laughing and snorting. But anyway, here we go. I think I'll go to the store. Now listen to the difference. See, that's purely mental. I believe I'll go to the store. Now, that's totally different. I believe I'll go to the store. And so you think, yeah. Yeah, well, I believe I'll go to the store. You had a thought, and then you believed it.
Hello.
Yeah.
We're friends. Oh. We're friends.
He's having the fun. No, we're having the fun. Glory to God. We're not all that far from the big...
Carswell.
Joint Reserve Base here in Fort Worth. You know, we're supposed to be at the prayer cabin today, but you can't get out of town. Amen. Now listen. I leave the house. I'm on my way to the store because I believe I'm going to the store. I believe I will. Yeah, I believe I'll go to the store. That's the thing to do. And so I'll go get in my car, and I'm going to the store. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, I'm not there yet. Really? So? Do you know the way to the store? Well, yeah, but keep going. Oh, Tim, we're getting somewhere. Keep going. Keep headed to the store. Keep going. Don't get turned around because of the virus. Don't get turned around because of this. Don't get turned around because of your money. Don't get, yeah, but Brother Copeland, I haven't worked in months. Come on, baby. Jesus is your source. Not the company you work for. Well, how could he get anything to me? He can't. Not in that kind of attitude. But when you say, he is my source and I'm a tither, and I want you to know he'll get it to me if the birds have to haul it in here.
That's right.
Amen. And there have been miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. The miracle that happened to my own granddaughter, Courtney, and miracles that are happening to people in the middle of all of this and just prospering in the middle of it. I talked to a young man yesterday. Praise God. Outstanding young pastor. I'm telling you. And he said, Brother Kenneth, I tell you, he said, my church is booming, brother. He's out in California. He said, my church is booming. My income is, the church income's up. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And just a few days ago, we had our virtual Branson Victory campaign right here at EMIC with nobody there, except everybody was there. And we had over 60,000 connections. That's a quarter of a million people. Happy anniversary, sweetheart.
Thank you.
It's only next Monday.
Ah. How long?
58 years.
Woo-hoo!
Praise God.
We did it. We did it. 58 years.
I met you on the 30th day of October in 1961. I remember the day I first laid eyes on you. And I thought, her dad came up to me Arkansas was playing TCU. And, you know, you can't buy a room in that town. But my dad was with National Old Line Insurance Company.
Yeah, I remember.
And so... He called up there. My boss took a charter trip, and I rode the right seat. I didn't have a multi-engine rating back in those days. And so they had an extra seat, and I asked Bill, I said, could my dad go? And, of course, you know Bill and Dad were close friends. And so he said, sure. So had an after-game party at the country club and all that. Anyway, her dad came up to me and said, my daughter's the best-looking girl in the state of Arkansas. I said, is that right? And he came back a little bit later, and he said, you don't believe me, do you? I said, hey, I believe you, man. He said, how are you going to the airport in the morning? I don't know, cab, I guess. No, he said, where are you staying? I'm going to come pick you up.
You'd think
I
you
really never. I really never thought... I'd ever see this guy again. But we were staying in the penthouse of National Old Line Insurance Company. And my dad had been with that company for a long time. And so he called and said, AW, you and Kenneth stay up there, fine. Because they all going to the ball game. TCU's playing Arkansas. So, the next morning, Sunday morning, bright and clear, and a fall day is in October, you know. I don't remember who won the game. But that elevator came all the way up there, and when it opened, there Gloria and her dad and her mother, and I saw her. I thought, man, he's right. That's the most beautiful woman I have ever seen in my life. So, we walked out on the balcony there. It just, you know, it's 5 stories high, and back there that many years ago, the city wasn't built up as high as it is now. And we stood out there, and it's a bright, pretty fall day, like I said. And Gloria and I walked out on that balcony, and we're looking out over it. And she put her arm around me and just patted me on the back. And I know right then, that moment, I just fell head over heels in love with her. I thought...
Make me cry.
And it wasn't long after that, my boss came in and he said, Kenneth, I've taken over the operation over in Camden, Arkansas. And he said, it is a mess. That place needs cleaning up. And I thought maybe you'd like to go over there. And I said, I'll go. Yeah, I'll go. He said, don't you want to think about it? I said, I thought about it. I'm standing there thinking, that girl's over there somewhere. So, sure enough. And we had a bunch of weather come in there 2 weeks later and just grounded everything. And so I asked, my Mac Tate was my boss there then, in Camden.
Yeah.
And so I said, Mac, can I have the airport car? I went in and called Gloria. And she answered the phone. She said later, her mother and dad asked if she'd like to go to Little Rock. She said, no, that boy's going to call. And I called her and made a date with her. And so I had this old wore out airport car and I drove that thing over to Blevins to pick her up, which is a few miles away. And then we went to Camden and went to the Rocket Room. And we had, I don't know where I got money enough to feed her, but I did. And I guess I got it from Mac. I'm pretty sure I got it from Mac, because Gloria used to come over there when he come over where we were, and she'd stay with Mac and his wife. And you've heard me tell this story, but I just love it. And after which, I drove her back to Blevins and stepped up there on her dad's front porch. I said, Gloria, will you marry me? She said, okay, and just went in the house.
It's the truth.
I stood out there on the porch like that, and the rest is history.
I said, what'd you want, a speech? I said, okay. That's what I should have said.
Yeah, but she said, what have I done? I don't even know this guy.
That's right.
Oh, well, I'll get out of it later. Mm. Next Monday, which is the 13th, of April, we celebrate our 58th wedding anniversary.
Praise God.
And I love you more today.
I don't want out anymore.
No, I don't either. Never did. And the rest. 6 months later, we got married. 6 months later, we got born again. 3 months later, we got baptized in the Spirit. And the rest is history.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
God.
Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for this radio and television broadcast going out all over this world when we need it so badly. And thank you, sir, for the faith of God. We praise you and we look to you, sir, for revelation from heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, help Gloria and me. Help us to deliver this word today with special anointing to fit these times. And we give you praise and honor. For revelation, for the peace of God and the healing of God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're not in Center Point today, but in our prayer cabin, but you know, I miss Word Bird.
Yeah,
now we got Word Boat.
Hey,
glory to God. Open your Bibles with me again today. We're doing a refresher on the fundamentals of faith. And you have to do this. You have to go back and refresh. You don't say, well, God, I need to use my faith. Oh, yeah, I know how to do that. Yeah, I know how to do that. I don't need to go back to the Bible. Yes, you do. You need to go back and refresh, particularly when it's tough times. You can quote Mark 11, 23 and 24 and 25 and quote it. You better be careful. You'll wind up quoting little parts of it a little bit differently than what it says. And go back and read it and thought, you know, for a long time I would say in the book of Romans, for I have made thee the father of many nations. That's not what it says. He said, I have made you a father. Well, what difference does that make? Not much in that case. But that's how easy that is to do it. You just quote it, and change little pieces of it. So you go back to the fundamentals. Now, remember this. You've heard me say this a lot. I'm going to say it to you again this morning. What are you watching when you watch the Super Bowl? What are you watching when you watch the World Series? Masters of the fundamentals. It's the same game whether you're playing basketball, football, baseball. Amen. The rules are the same. Now, depending on the size of the players, you know, the diamond may be squashed down a little bit if it's little league guys, particularly if it's T-ball.
Yeah.
Amen. But it's the same game. And the practice and practice and practice and practice and practice and practice at those fundamentals over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. The great Green Bay Packer coach, man, thank you, Lord. When Vince Lombardi had a losing season, and he never had another one. He walked in there, Gloria. Now, these guys are the best in the world, but they got beat. He started out, gentlemen, this is a football. Now, that's about as basic as you can get.
Yeah.
Now, during World War II, they had kids coming in from the country that some of them, hardly old enough to drive yet, but they're in the military. And they're just training people just as fast as they could because this war got just thrown on them. Man, I remember it. You know, I was born the day before. I was born on December the 6th, 1936. December the 7th, 1941. I was 5 years old. So by the time they ended that war, hey, I was 8 or 9 years old. I remember things going on when I was in grade school, and vividly. But I wanted to say here's the way they started flight training, on a little Piper Cub. For some of these guys, the first time they'd ever been up close to an airplane. These country kids, it's hard to wrap your mind around that today, but man, I remember this, and they started out that way. This is an airplane. Well, yeah. And they just started in the front end. Now, listen to me, particularly those of you that don't know how to fly. And this is a propeller. This is the engine. Well, da-dee-da-dee-da. These are fundamentals, right, Tim? Well, now, wait a minute. You're going down. This is the wing. Yeah, everybody knows that. Now, this is the aileron. What? An aileron. A what? An aileron. What in the world is an aileron? That is so basic, fundamental, every pilot on earth knows what an aileron is. It's the little flappers out on the wings that make the airplane bang. Fundamentals. Yesterday, you heard that jet that flew through here? He's got ailerons. Say, hey, the difference is the guy that flew through here yesterday is supersonic. That little J3 back there, then if everything it had, it'd do 85 miles an hour. But it's an airplane. Glory remembers that because she's got a little over 80 hours and she quit. She was working on her multi-engine rating, and because I didn't want to have a co-pilot when I got a jet. Praise God, she finally decided, I don't want to do this. you do it. But she'd ride up there in the front. She'd learned enough to read a chart. She could help me, and she could read the chart. She knew what all she was talking about because she knew how to fly. Fundamentals. Now, the fundamentals of faith. The fundamentals that go along with faith, because above all, you take the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness. Oh, yeah. The helmet of salvation. Oh, yes. Glory to God. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Oh, yeah. But above all,
the shield of faith,
the shield of faith, whereby you shall quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, including COVID-19. Bam.
That's right.
Got him, right? Just got him, glory to God. You don't hit me with it. My faith is in place. My shield is up.
Praise God.
Gloria. I don't know where my shield is. I was going to put on the full armor, but I don't know what I did with my shield.
You left it at the airport.
I guess so. That's sad. You know what? You're not spending any time in the Word. You're not even thinking about, where's that shield? Oh, was that in 1st, 2nd Corinthians? No, it's in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians. Now, you haven't finished up. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, rulers, darkness, as well as so forth and so on. You haven't finished till you get to that 18th verse. Praying always, all kinds of prayer in the Spirit, that's in tongues, perseveringly for all the saints. Praise God. That means you're partners. Amen. I pray for you every day. The ministry prays for you every day. Now,
think about the shield of faith. You can't leave your shield laying on the table.
That's right.
If you don't got it up, you don't got it.
No, that's right.
It may be your shield. You may have your name on it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that is good, Gloria.
But you got to keep it up.
Yeah, yeah. And, oh, listen, you know, glory to God. That means if your shield of faith is somewhere else, the first fundamental of faith, believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. It's not in your mouth. You got something else in your mouth.
That's right.
Something else.
Keep it up.
Something else. Oh, I hope I hadn't got this thing. Where could I have possibly gone? I didn't go anywhere. No. Hey. You know what I've heard Gloria say so many times? Get over it. get over that.
That's right.
Amen. Get back in the Word. Get back in the Word. Right, and especially at a time like this, not only watching these broadcasts is important, but now listen to me. Get those CDs out. Gloria and I, we go to bed at night just a lot of the time. And we've still got Brother Hagin, the one that taught us faith. I've got a telephone full of his messages. And man, we go to bed at night and we have to just go start pumping that faith in there. Well, why? We have to have it.
Faith has to be fed.
It does. That's what Smith Wigglesworth used to say. He would, now here's a man, completely illiterate. God taught him how to read the Bible and he never read anything else. Never been to school a day in his life. He carried a little testament with him. And he did this every time he ate a meal. Whether he was in a restaurant or wherever he was. He said, well, we have fed our bodies, and now let's feed our faith. So he would feed his faith. And he would go to the New Testament, and he would feed his faith.
That's a good
and
idea.
He would read, only he did it about this loud. Booming voice. Just a booming voice. He was so bold. Why? Because of his faith. Read the Bible every day, never read another publication in his life.
Full of faith.
Full of faith. Ever increasing faith. Amen. So, we don't even have to do that. Dear Lord, you got, if you got any sense at all, you got 7 or 8 translations right there in your phone. If you don't, get the Bible app and do it. Amen. Now, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things, those words which he says shall come to pass, he will have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, now because of that, I say this to you. Everything you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, believe that you take them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. Right there at that same moment, forgive. It's all one motion. You believe it in your heart, you say it with your mouth, you believe, you receive it, and you forgive. Right there. Right there. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Now, Matthew chapter 21. Yeah, but now I'm going to complain. You know, they told me that this is just a spiritual mountain. This is a spiritual tree. I'm so glad you brought that up. 21st chapter of Matthew. Praise God. The 11th chapter of Mark is the classic teaching on faith. 21st. Yeah. Now, verse 21. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, listen, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Well, I will receive. You didn't say you might receive. You said you will. Well, that's fundamental. Jesus said it, I said. Glory to God, I will receive. So today I receive it, I take it. Yeah. I take my absolute immunity from COVID-19, I take it today. Praise God. Well, I can go out without a mask. No, you can't. Well, why not? I'm a person of faith. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and then unto God's what is God's. Amen. We do as our leaders have set out for us to do. You obey the laws of the land. In this case, we are obeying the leadership of the world. I don't like that Donald Trump. It didn't say you have to like him. It said you have to do what he says. Yeah, but I hate him. How do you like the flu? How do you like COVID-19? Well, I don't like it. You better shut that kind of talk up, because you're a candidate. For where there is strife, confusion, there's every evil. Now you can look back and see why this nation was so absolutely vulnerable to this thing, because of the hate and the strife and the confusion going on in this government. But that's all in the past. This is the victory that overcometh the world. Say it. Even our faith. Now we're talking about the fundamentals of faith. And as you know, the first fundamental of faith is you believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth. Now, the second fundamental of faith, let's introduce it in Galatians chapter 5. So turn there in your Bibles with me. In that verse 5 says, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." How? Let me hear you say it. By faith. By faith. The hope of righteousness. Wait for righteousness by faith. "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love." Say it, love.
Love.
Faith works by love. Say it again. Faith works by love. No love, no faith.
No love, no action.
No action. No love, no protection.
That's right.
Because that's all about faith. That's the reason the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, said that above all, taking the shield of faith. He didn't say above all, take the name of Jesus, because the name doesn't work. You have to have faith in the name for it to work.
That's
huh?
Right.
He didn't say above all, take the shield of righteousness. No, because righteousness is by faith, and faith works by love. No love, no faith. No faith, no protection.
No love, no action.
No action. No love, no faith, no direction. No love, no faith, no perfection. I mean, it just starts crumbling right in front of you.
That's right.
Faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. That's the very... Actually, you know, these fundamentals, of course, they're interchangeable. We have them in the order in which the Word established them. Remember, Gloria, that... Right there in the book of Hebrews, the word says it is impossible to please God without faith. Impossible? Yes. Why? Without faith, he has no connection with you. Without faith, without faith, you can confess your sins all day long and it doesn't do any good. You have to use your faith to believe you receive your forgiveness from sin when you confess them. I don't care how you feel about it. You feel rotten as a dog. It's your feelings. I've said it to you. I don't know how many, probably over the years, millions of times, I guess. Feelings have nothing to do with it. Park your feelings. Believe the word. You're a soldier in the army of the Lord. You go over to 1 John and you stand before him. "Sir, I did that. I got this problem." Oh, see, that's your feelings talking. "Sir, I did it. I have no excuse, sir. I confess it. I believe I receive my forgiveness. I believe I receive cleansing from all that unrighteousness. Permission to be forgiven and cleansed, sir. I receive it. Thank you very much. Turn around and leave. Still a feeling like a dog. Feelings don't have anything to do with this. Now, when you get that done, you turn around and say, come on, feelings, get it straight. You get straight. I remember what Brother Hagin used to say. He said, I feel good. I feel fine. Now, feelings, you get in line. Because you didn't feel
body
all that good.
Line.
Body, yeah, body get in line. I feel good. Now, I feel fine. Body, you get in line.
That's right.
See, speak to that thing. You're the commander over this body. You're responsible for the way it acts. It takes faith to do that. Faith over feelings. And then bring those feelings in line and begin to praise Him. Oh, Jesus, that nasty thing. You remember my sins no more. Right. I stand on Isaiah 43:25. You've forgotten all of my sins and I refuse to remember it. Thank God for the blood. But I cast that imagination down. Put a smile on your face. I'm forgiven. Yes, glory to God, I'm forgiven. My goodness, He bore that thing 2,000 years ago. And by grace, I just received it. Calling things that be not as though they were. That is so big. That is just huge. I call myself forgiven, glory to God. And I'm glad of it. Now, come on now, straighten up here. And every time you have a thought of that thing, get out of my mind. I cast you down. My weapons of my warfare are mighty. Dunamis. Power. Through God.
Yeah.
They're not carnal weapons. I'm a soldier in the mighty army of God. Now, flesh, just get out of my way. And then you get happy. Yeah, you just get thrilled and you just walk around the house. Oh, glory to God. You know, fear is not okay. No. But it says perfected love casteth out fear. Oh, yes, my Father loves me. God loves Kenneth. God loves Gloria. He loves me as much as He does Jesus. Jesus prayed that in 17th chapter of John. And he prayed it right there in that covenant supper. And He prayed that. I prayed, oh, just for these alone, for all them that shall come to me through their word. Well, that's the way we came.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Huh. But you're going to have to walk in love to get it. Now, with that, and we know that, let's go back where we were now in the Mark 11:25. Let's see. Mark 11:25. When you stand praying, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, so that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. He can't. He can't get to you. You won't turn loose of it. You're the one with the power to forgive. You can't relegate to God what He's already told you to do and what He's told me to do, what He's told Gloria to do. No. We have a part to play with this. We're not sub-heirs. We're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Our words count in this earth just the same as His words counted in this earth. Hey, do you remember the 18th chapter where He talked about the prayer of agreement, the 18th chapter of Matthew? He said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. For where two of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Two or three. Why? To carry out that agreement. I mean, you know, to carry out the agreement. He said, you agree on this thing. And it'll be done by my Father, which is in heaven. But you're going to have to get an agreement.
You can tell that strife's not going to get you any answers.
Go on with that, Gloria. I mean, that's rich.
Well, it's just, I mean, faith doesn't work in strife.
No, because James said it like this. Where there's strife...
There's confusion.
And confusion, there is every evil
work. Right, that's right.
Now, he also said this, and the devil knows this scripture, in James 4:7. Submit yourself to God. That's faith, isn't it, Tim? Mm-hmm. Submit yourself to God, and then resist the devil. He'll flee from you.
That's right.
Now, that's what was happening with our children that I talked to you about yesterday. When they spoke to those tornadoes, it obeyed them, and it still does. I mean, they're grown men and women today, and it still obeys them when they speak to it. But they were taught young how to resist the devil, how to resist sickness, how to resist disease.
Praise God. Yeah.
Amen. And as long as they were under our authority in our household, they never got sick. And they hadn't been sick very much since. They knew how. Praise God. I remember this so well. Kelly came home from school. She said, "Daddy, I've had the symptoms of the flu on me all day." And this is the first time I'd ever heard this from the Lord. We've used it a lot since. I said, "Kelly, you are not the sick trying to get healed." 1 Peter 2:24, "By his stripes you were healed." You're not the sick trying to get healed. You are the healed, and the devil's trying to take your health away from you. Now, you latch on to that right now. That's a word from heaven. That faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by that word. You are not the sick trying to get healed. You are the healed, and the devil is trying to take your health away from you. He's trying to give you COVID-19. He's trying his best to give it to you. And if you have fear, I want you to know, if you have fear of that thing and you're talking about being afraid of it, I'm telling you, the devil will maneuver you and maneuver people just to get around you that have it, just to see to it you're exposed to it. But when you cast that thing out, glory to God, I have no fear, praise God, because I walk and live by love, and I have faith, and I have no fear. I don't care if your knees are shaking. I refuse to fear in the name of Jesus, because Amen. He's delivered me from fear. God will see to it. He will see to it that he will move those people that are infected. He'll get them out of your way. Just to see to it. You go to that grocery store, just see to it that you don't get in contact with anybody. Wear your little mask. Get your bandana and put it on. Amen. Wear your mask. Do what you're supposed to do. Amen. And all the time underneath that mask, you're grinning. "Yeah, devil, you can't put that on me. And you know you can't put that on me." And the Lord leads you to somebody in that grocery store that's kind of got a frown on their face. And you can look at them and say, "May I pray for you? If I could touch you, I would. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." And he'll not allow that thing to come on you. You hear me? Really? That's right. Hey, you want me to lead you in prayer? You can accept Jesus right now. Hey, you can win everybody in that grocery store. If you're as bold as Todd White, he can do what he used to do and scared his wife so bad she wouldn't go to the grocery store with him anymore. But he and his little daughter did. He'd go up to the counter. He'd say, "May I borrow your microphone?" "May I have everyone's attention, please? Anyone that has any problems," I'm quoting what he actually did. "Anyone that has any problems with your ears, come up to the checkout counter. I'll lay hands on your ears and you'll be healed." And they did it, and they were healed. Some people, deaf ears were opened up in that grocery store. just simply because he would dare do what Jesus said. Amen. And the boldness of God and miracles work a whole lot stronger out in the street where the sinners are. It's amazing. And I'm telling you, the word of the Lord came to me on Friday the 13th at 9:24 in the evening. Gloria and I in bed listening to Brother Hagin. I jumped up and wrote it down. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He said that, among other things, this thing will be over much sooner than you think. Yeah. And he said, it's being overwhelmed by the prayers of my people. Now listen to what he said. And many, many, many people will come into the kingdom because of it. For I am still on the throne, and prayer and faith in me changes things.
Yes, amen.
He's still on the throne, and prayer and faith in him still changes things. Whoa, glory be to God. Now remember that. Faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. Romans 5:5, remember what that says? The love of God's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
He's in there. Whoa, he is love and he's in here, right here. He's just right here. Oh, God, I love him.
He's right there handy when you need him.
He's right there handy when you need him. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. You know, I've always said, I don't like shirts without a pocket on them. Put on a shirt without a pocket. And what do people say? Boy, that's handy as a pocket on a shirt.
Mm-hmm. What?
That's what you just said. He's handy when you need him.
That's right. That's right.
He's right underneath this pocket. Yeah, he's right he's right there. He's right in here.
That's right.
And he's been right in here.
Praise God.
Since 1962. And then baptized with the Spirit of the living God, speaking with other tongues, we stepped into the field of the supernatural. That's the gateway to miracles right there on the inside of you.
Praise God.
You can just walk around the house praying in the Spirit and just say, Lord, just take care of everything. I prayed this morning, but I don't pray anymore. But I don't do that. We'll do it now. He's a gift to the church. It's a gift. You don't have to frown up and try. The fruit of the Spirit. Does a grape have to try to be a grape? It's just hanging there on the vine. Isn't that what he said? I am the vine.
You're the branches.
You're the branches. And the fruit is hanging on you. Right?
The fruit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, what kind of a good life would that be?
Oh!
If you never had to get mad, you never acted ugly.
That's the reason we've been so blessed over these years.
Yes, it is.
Because we just refused it. Even if I work at it very, very carefully. If I just in the slightest bit, just being a little aggravated or something, and say something, that's a little, I just grab her and I got to say, no, baby. Listen, I wasn't raising my voice at you. No. And we just stand there and hold one another. Amen. Fair just enough. Put a stop to that. Man, we are not having that, devil. Amen. I don't usually spit at him, but he's a nothing, you know. I don't suggest you to.
We are not having that.
We are not
devil.
Having
Let
that.
Let me interpret.
Ever.
Okay.
How much time do I have? Oh, glory to God, 3 minutes. I can preach the book of Revelation in 3 minutes. Yes, sir. Yeah, I want to go over there. Let's close this today with Ephesians chapter 4. This is so strong. Ephesians 4:32. Let's read 31. Now, listen to this. Where am I? Which camera? This one. let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God. Hey, forgiveness is on the inside of you. Jesus is in here. God is in here. Jesus said, it's the Father that dwelleth within me. He does the work. Even as God. He said, love the brethren even as I love the brethren. Kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for the sake of the anointed one and his anointing, Christ, Messiah, his anointing is in you. Listen, for the sake of the anointing that is living in you, forgive if you have aught against it, and do it right now. That, well, Brother Copeland, they're not here. Forgive them anyway. There's no time or distance in the realm of the Spirit. Well, yeah, they don't ask for it. It don't make any difference what they said or what they didn't. Just forgive. You forgive by faith. Because it's a commandment. It's a commandment. Now, as a soldier in the army of the Lord, I saluted my commander-in-chief because in obeying him, and now I salute him again. I walk in your commandment, sir. Praise God. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my mind, all my strength, and I love my neighbor as myself. Glory to God. And that's my neighbor. And I love them. Glory to God. And they're forgiven. They're forgiven. Glory to God. They're forgiven. Yes, sir. Uncle Fred's forgiven. Well, he don't know it, but he is. And I love him. I love him, I said. I love her.
We're supposed to put on the new man.
Yeah, and I'm doing my best, Gloria. Because of this wait, Thanksgiving's coming. And
new man.
They're going to be cussing Donald Trump. Do like what Keith Moore said. It's so nice to see you. All you have to do is just begin to forgive and hold them in love and forgiving thoughts, and it'll change them. We've been talking about the fundamentals of faith. So, we have talked about the fact that the first fundamental of faith is to believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. Now, that's basic as it gets. That's where it begins, right there in Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and 25. Now, then faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. You can't even have an air of unforgiveness around you because, like we talked about yesterday, faith worketh by love. The love of God's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God Himself. Amen. Are you listening to me now? So now, all these different scriptures, Mark 11, 23, Romans 10, 10, and so forth and so on, faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. Now then, listen. You listening? You cannot receive Abraham's blessing with Thomas's faith. Now, don't ever call him doubting Thomas anymore because he didn't doubt anymore after that day. Amen. He is one of the apostles of the Lamb and is due great honor and respect. Glory to God. Book of Romans, chapter 4. Now, let's read the 16th verse. Therefore, it is of faith so that it might be by grace. To the end, the promise. Now, listen, what promise? This is covenant. We have blood covenants. The first covenant, the second covenant. And let me tell you something. It's not the old and the new. No, it's the first and the second. And our daughter, Terry, told me this just a few days ago. I mean, I'd never seen this. I'd never really looked it up. I knew it in my heart, but Gloria, She said, Daddy, when I looked that up, she said, it's like the idea, here's a rose, and during the winter, it lost all of its leaves and so forth, but it's the same plant. Mm-hmm. See, we've been grafted in. It's the same plant. And then spring comes, like right now, and what happens? The buds come on that rose. And out of that comes a new rose. Oh, this is good. Out of that, now look at what's this. Out of that comes a new rose out of the same plant. Isn't that, Tim, isn't that just, boy, that's delicious. And it's all in the meaning of the words there. It's terrible when you can't read Greek or Hebrew. I'm telling you, I look at Greg Stevens, and the guy reads Hebrew, you know, I'm standing there talking about all this, and he's sitting there saying, uh-huh, well, yeah. You know, it's amazing to me. And then Rick Renner, he reads the Greek and says, well, yeah, and I was like, but look at that. The second covenant budded out of that first one. The only difference in them is the blood. The first, blood of animals, mm-hmm. and so forth. The second, the blood of God. Oh. I just love it. God, I tell you, I love it. Glory to God. Now then, it is of faith that it might be by grace, not only to that which is of the law, but to that also of the faith of Abraham as the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope. We're talking about the faith of Abraham now. Who against hope believed in when there was no hope, he had hope anyway. That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Well, yeah, but Brother Copeland, what does that have to do with us? I'm so glad you asked that. Just flip right over there. We were right there in the book of Galatians yesterday. And we'll just ease back over there. In chapter 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now, that's you and me. A Gentile is just somebody that doesn't know God. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We might receive the promise that God promised Abraham through faith. Look, and verse 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. Neither is there male or female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the covenant. Hallelujah. Say it, I have a covenant with the Almighty God.
I have a covenant with
And Jesus
Almighty.
Is my blood brother. We're not sub-heirs, we're joint heirs with Him. There is that saying, there is a friend, that's a covenant friend, that sticks closer than a brother. Hallelujah. And Jesus of Nazareth, if you know Him as Lord, is your blood brother, and all it takes is 15 seconds to make Him Lord of your life. Because He's done all the hard part. He went to hell and paid the price. The Apostle Paul said, Lord! And it did it. What do you want me to do? Changed him forever. He's a new creature. Amen. Now, get back over here with me in this fourth chapter, Romans, verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's. I'm excited about this, you understand?
It's all this fresh air.
Huh?
It's all the fresh air.
Still. Yeah, that's what it's doing. Yeah, I've been in the house for 6 weeks. Oh, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform it. Now then, John chapter 20. I tell you, I remember when I saw this the first time. I'd been listening to Brother Hagin. He taught about this, and it hit me. I tell you, it struck my spirit with a force. Listen to this. The 20th chapter of John, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, now listen, an act of his will, except I shall see, five physical senses, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe.
Boy.
I will not do it.
He said his will, didn't he?
See, he could have, I mean, he could have said, my goodness, guys, I've known you guys all these years. Really? Particularly you, Peter and John? I mean, you've seen him? Oh, I can't wait to see him. I love him so, I can't wait to see him. But he bucked up. It's just the devil. Just bucked up. I won't do it. If I can't feel it and see it, I'm not going to believe it. Back in the very early days of this ministry, Hilton Sutton, one of my very, very, glory to my very, very, very closest friends and one of my early mentors and fathers in the faith. I'd had a 3-week meeting. He invited me to his church and I had it for 3 days and it went 3 weeks long. So his Dad Sutton was there and he invited me down to Beaumont, his church. And we got down there. I got down there and he said, Brother Copeland, I couldn't guarantee you $50 if you stayed 3 months or if you stayed a month. I said, Brother Sutton, I never asked you to guarantee me anything. I said, what's the matter? He said, my people are out with the flu. My people are out with the flu. I said, hey, we know what we have to do. I said, glory to God, get your oil bottle and let's go to work. And he grabbed that oil bottle. And some of them were in the hospital, some of them at home, sick. And we go down there and I read 1 Peter 2:24 and Isaiah 53:4. And Matthew 8:17 and scriptures, and then James chapter 5, anoint them with oil and prayer of faith and save the sick and so forth, that committed any sins and shall be forgiven them. And I read it to them. And man, some of them, I'm telling you, they were so sick, just old clammy sick flu. And just take that corner of that bed cover and just throw it off and just could hardly stand up. Just staggering around, just started praising, oh, thank God I'm healed. Thank God I'm healed. And I'm telling you, in moments, I'm not talking about hours, I'm talking about moments, they were dancing around the room, kind of stumbling around, but within a little while, every symptom was gone, and they're just shouting the victory, all but one. We had one Thomas. No, sir. I said, what do you mean, man? It says right here, by stripes you were healed. No, sir. I don't believe that. If I can't see, I'm not saying I'm healed and I'm sick like this. I've never been so sick as whatever else he was, he said. I'm not getting out of this bed. Tim, he like died. He was so sick. He was sick for, I've seen me like it was 2.5 weeks or so. like to died with it, man. But thank God he did receive his healing. And but see, it was the same thing. Now notice what he said. After 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. Now, what do you mean about that? Do you remember what Jesus... Chloe, you remember what Jesus said? I mean, he said, handle me. A spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. He's still a man. No blood. His blood is in the heavenly mercy seat of God. But flesh and bone. Glorified man. Handle me. Yeah. Handle me. Those holes in his hands. See, he could have walked down the streets of Jerusalem. You could see those holes. Everybody would believe, but it wouldn't have been any faith to it.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to believe what you can't see first. You have to believe you receive it before you... You have to believe you have it before you have it. What does that mean? I'm about to show you. Look at this now. Then he said to Thomas, reach here your finger and behold my hand. Reach here your finger and look at my hand. Reach here your hand. And what's Jesus doing here? He just reached over there and got him by the hand and stuck it in that big slice and cut. That thing's big enough to stick your hand in there. Because that spear went up all the way up into him and stuck into his heart, into the heart sac, and that's when the water poured out of him. Just horrible scar and hole. Those holes are big enough to see daylight. Some people said, well, they must have been in the wrist. Because no, they didn't say wrist. It says hands. Those Roman spikes were huge and had big heads on them like this. Hmm. And it covered the most of the palm of the hand. But then it went through there without breaking a bone. As the spike came down to its small end, but then that thing just. But either way, that's not the point. That's beside the point. But they're big enough. You can see them. You can see those holes. And here he is hanging on the cross a few days before. Now he's out walking down the street. There wouldn't have been a born again one in the bunch. Now notice what he said now. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God, my Lord, my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed. Now remember, we're talking about the blessing of Abraham, right? Mm-hmm. Blessed are they that have not seen and have believed. The blessing of the Lord is received by faith. Yeah. Amen. The moment that he believed, the blessing of the Lord became his. That's when the blessing begins. Right then. You could be born again 40 years and not know anything about the blessing of the Lord and all that. And you have certain blessings that are just there because you're born again and filled with the Spirit. But why not have the whole load, praise God, and walk in the power of it all the days of your life? And expect great, marvelous things instead of sorry and doubtful things happening in your life and in your heart and in your body and in your finances because of this horrible disease. It's over. I said it's over. And by the time you get this in May, glory to God, it's over. I said it's O-V-E-R, over. It has been killed in the Spirit. Glory to God. Jesus Christ of Nazareth bore it, and we call things that be not as though they were. I consider not my body 83 years old. I consider only what He promised me, and He promised me 120 years. But it didn't mean a thing on earth to me until He got in the Word and kept pouring that in front of me and pouring that in front of me. I staggered around with it for a while. Kind of stumbled with it, but first heard it from Keith Moore, and I thought, wow, glory to God. Look at this. This is the only age that God ever said. And He said it in Genesis 6:3, and Moses did it. Well, He kept talking to me about it, as most of you already know. He kept talking to me about it. Well, I'm 83 years old. Well, so what? I put it in my heart and put it in my mouth. Glory to God. I'll be stronger when I'm 90. I'll be stronger when I'm 100. I'll be stronger when I'm 105. I'll be stronger yet when I'm 110. I'll be stronger. I'll be the strongest in my life in December the 6th, 2056. Unless Jesus comes before. And I know of no record. Now, there's been people live that long. Don't misunderstand me. But for the specific purpose in obedience to Jesus Christ, the Lord Advocate General of the Church, the head of the armies of God, under specific request from Him, His requests are my commandments. After several years of dealing with me about this, He said, will you do this for me? I stood straight up on my feet and saluted Him. I said, yes, sir, I'll do it. That's my command. And with your God-given health and strength, I will preach, here's the key, I will preach that this word of faith. I'll preach that Jesus, praise God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, saved. I will preach that Jesus Christ of Nazareth heals. I will preach that Jesus Christ of Nazareth baptizes with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. I will preach that He is the soon coming King. I will preach that He is our Melchizedek. He is our financier. And I'll preach it from the top of the world to the bottom. And I'll preach it all the way around the middle of this thing. And praise God, by the grace of the living God, I've been able to do it. I have preached in the northern part of Canada. I have preached in the Solomon Islands around the middle. I have preached in Australia. That's pretty well from the top to the bottom and all the way around the middle. And I said that, praise God, back in 1967, 68, 69. And that I had no idea I was going to live to be 120 years old. But in 1983, I found out I was going to live to be 92. He said, this is beginning the rest of your life. I said, well, oh, 92. Okay, yeah, I'll do that. Glad to do that. Amen. And then he said to me, Tim, he said, now Kenneth, I've heard the audible, what sounded to me like the audible voice only one time in my life, and that's when he said, coming to you from the revival capital of the world. He wasn't talking. Anyway. But right in here. He called me Kenneth. That's when he really gets my attention. He said, Kenneth. I said, why? I said, why do you want this? He said, because of the anointing. And he started in. Right, every 10 years. Were you as anointed? You know, I stepped into the will of God the first time in my life in January 1967. All the way up 10 years, 10 years, 10 years. Then he said, I have anointings from 80 to 90. I have anointings from 90 to 100 that's not even in the world. I have the anointings from then on up. They don't even exist, and I need them. Praise God. Now then, let's go back. We're talking about the fundamentals of faith. Now then, faith calls things that be not as though they were. Back to the book of Romans, where we were yesterday. Now, let's begin. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Now, when you look at your cross-reference, as it is written, Genesis 17, 5. Let's go to Genesis 17, 1. Now, Gloria is going to read this, Genesis 17, 1, through... Just go ahead and read that first five verses, Gloria, through that fifth verse.
Okay. Let me get my pages down here. Genesis 17, 1. First one, how many?
The first five verses there, please.
Okay. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect.
Or blameless.
Or blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, now this is Abraham's part, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Keep reading or what?
This fifth verse, look at that, Gloria. Neither shall your name any more be called
Abram,
but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee.
Now he changed Abraham's situation by his word.
Oh, yeah. But he had to believe it.
Yeah, he had to receive it.
He had to unconditionally believe it.
Receive it, yeah.
Now, here's what's so big, Gloria. You and I have been studying covenant. I got a hold of the fact that Jesus was my blood brother back in the late 70s, early 80s. And the book by E.W. Kenyon called The Blood Covenant. You can still get it today. It's still in print today. And you need it. You ought to have it. I carry it with me all the time. The name change is a big part of blood covenant. Now, you have to remember, the first blood covenant ever in the blood of a human being was this one right here. Up until then, in the 15th chapter, he made covenant, but in the blood of animals. And God walked in the blood of those animals and said, so shall your seed be. His name was still Abram. That H is the name of God, Hashem. So God inserted his name in the middle of Abram's name, making blood covenant in the blood of Abraham through circumcision, the blood of this man. They entered into covenant. Abraham. Now, he did the same thing with Sarai. Instead of being Sarai, she became Sarah. He put the H on the end of her name. Now, come on, Gloria. When you and I were married, the day I met you, your name was Gloria Jean Niece.
That is correct.
Yes. But we entered the marriage covenant. That's what, this is where we get that. And you became Gloria Jean Copeland.
That's right.
Through covenant. Now, this is the marriage covenant. All covenants started with this one right here. All the blood covenants which are still practiced in places in the world today in tribes that don't even know there is a God, they're still practicing that. It went all over the world, all over the earth. Now, notice what he said. He said, as for me, in other words, you don't have to do this, but I've decided my covenant is with me and with you. Yeah. Now, that may wait a whirly bird. It's not gospel bird, it's whirly bird. Yeah. He's having fun, and so am I. He's not having near as much fun as we are. So now listen to what he said. He said, I, El, God, I am the Almighty God. Now listen to this. He actually said, the way it is written, I am El Shaddai. Now that's the correct pronunciation, not Shaddai and not Shadda or none of that. I am El Shaddai. Say it. I am El, singular, Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. The root word in Hebrew. Two things I want to say about this. This one came from A.W. Kenyon's book, The Blood Covenant. The Hebrew word covenant literally means to cut. Where blood flows. Mm-hmm. To cut the covenant. That you don't make a covenant. You cut the covenant. And blood is the most precious thing in all of the Bible. Even the blood of animals, because that's where the life is in the blood. I am El Shaddai. That word Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. You know, God, now here, get this. God is God. He's just as much male as he is female. He's God. He's not a man. Jesus is a man. And Jesus is El Shaddai in the flesh. Glory to God. Now, listen to me carefully. It refers to the nurse. Like a nurse in a hospital. She's there to help you. She's there to take care of your every need. You're sick. She's right there if you need a glass of water. What about, and every time I think about this, I think of Gloria. Glory to God. I mean, John and Kelly were born. And Gloria was everything to those children. She did things I could not do. I mean, she gave birth to them. She gave life to them. That's what Shaddai. That's Shaddai. God gave life to us. And Gloria was their nurse. She was the source of their food. She was the source of everything for those kids. And she nursed them and she carried them around on her hip. And I'd say, Gloria, what did he say? And she'd tell me what John said. I said, well, see, hey, that's like talking in tongues, isn't it? Glory to God, yeah. Your father understands you. Nobody else does. Gloria was Shaddai to John and Kelly. Now, I was the father. Gloria and I together were their parents. It took both of us. He is our father, and he's our nurse.
Praise God.
He's our Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. And he can get supply to you right in what is COVID-19? You can't even see it. It's a creep. And we've been given authority and power in the name of Jesus over everything that flies, everything that swims, over all the tornadoes and the wind and the Gulf Stream. And that's a creep. It's a little demonic creep that's creeped in. Get out of here. It's under our feet. Glory to be to God. Hallelujah. Because we have a healing covenant with the El Shaddai. Mm-hmm. Let me remind you, Gloria, remember the 91st Psalm?
Yes, I do.
Under the shadow of the Almighty. Mm-hmm. You know what that is? Under the shadow of Shaddai.
Praise God.
Isn't that marvelous, Tim? Under the shadow of the God that's more than it.
Praise
Under God. The shadow that can take care of me right in the middle. I don't care what kind of plague it is. 1,000 at one side, 10,000 on the other side. Glory. And calls pestilence. Look it up. It's plague. This is a plague that's going around. It's Matthew 24, sweetheart. It's coming to pass in the last days. May I remind you, they had a locust plague just last summer. And look up pestilence. Jesus said pestilence and famine. Pestilence there is plague. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you be to God Almighty forevermore. Now then, I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. I will establish my covenant between thee and thy seed after thee and their generation, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and a seed after thee. Now, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Whoa. The man's 100 years old. His wife is 90. There is a direct contradiction. The covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God. He keeps His covenant. He's a covenant-making, covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God. Hallelujah. Glory. But now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, guys. This guy's 100 years old and his wife's 90. She ain't never had a baby yet. There's a contradiction here. I have made thee the father of many nations. He didn't say, I'm going to, Tim.
Oh, he did.
He said, I have already done it. He have already healed you.
That's right.
Yeah, but I'm sick. That's the contradiction. Why? He considered, now what did we read? He considered not his body.
Now dead.
Now dead, neither the deadness of his wife's womb, but only that which God had promised. Now, how is he going to reconcile this? I mean, here he is. He was 100 by the time she was, by the time Isaac was born. Now what am I going to do here?
That's exactly what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. Call things to be not as though they were.
And not consider anything else.
So what did he say? No, I don't consider that. Well, how's he reconcile it? He didn't try to reconcile it. I heard Brother Hagin say this, and it just... Wow! Tim, he said, God's word is... Don't add anything. No. It's truth. No. Hey, don't be adding anything to that. God's word is. Adam wasn't fruitful till God said, be fruitful. Then he was fruitful. That's all he had to do was say it. There was no heaven and earth until God said it. God's word is. He said it, it is. Light being, it was.
That's right.
Thank God he didn't say, dadgum, it's dark out here. No. It'd still be dark today. No. God's word is. And he said, you're healed. He calls you healed. Remember what I told you about what Kelly came home from school that day? And I said, Kelly, you're not the sick trying to get healed. You're the healed, and Satan's trying to take your health away from you. She went in her room and came out about, I don't remember, 30 minutes or an hour later. She said, Daddy, I'm healed. All the symptoms of flu are gone. Praise God, it's gone right then. She had a corresponding action. She called things that be not as though they were. This is what corresponding action is. And without corresponding action, nothing works. Well, you know, I just don't feel good about this thing. Well, sweetheart, let's go over here at the book of James. How much time have I got left here? Okay, good. James, glory to God, chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, but slow to speak. Don't shoot your mouth off. Slow to wrath. Don't be getting mad and angry because you've been shut up for days, like I told you, you know, 2 or 3 days ago, whatever it was. You better watch your mouth. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, or abundance of naughtiness. Receive with meekness. Receive, take it. The engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. That's not talking about being born again. Which is able to save your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you get all worked up, get irritated. No. That's all mental stuff. Just take over. Say, this is my mind. It's my mind. It'll think what I tell it to think, and I'm not thinking mad. I'm putting bitterness all the way. I'll just put you away. Just. Amen. But you be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And now, chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and he doesn't have any work to back it up? Can his faith save him? No corresponding action. The woman that had the issue of blood, she corresponded. She believed it. Yeah. She said it. But then she got out there in the street. She could have believed it and said it and said it and said it and said it and had all kinds of faith to do it and just said, I can't go out there. Look at me. I'm skin and bones now. Man, they'll trample me out there. I can't do it. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I would be made whole. I've heard his word. I know he does it. I know he does it. I know it. I can't do it. It's against the law for me to be out there. Oh, Jesus had bled to death right there in that room. Mm. But she said it. She believed it. She did it. And she told it. That's all she had to do. She had to say it, but then she had to do it. She said it, she believed it, but she had to get out there in that street. Gloria?
Which was against the law.
Yeah? She had to get out there in that.
She had an issue of blood.
Now, what did Jesus say? Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in faith and be healed of that plague. And we're out of time. We'll be back in just a minute.
The health crisis has provoked the financial crisis. Wall Street.
Thousands of deaths here in New York. 777 people died between Thursday and Friday alone. And the daily briefing.
With circumstances swirling around you on a daily basis, there's pressure to be afraid or anxious. These are troubling times, yet God is in control. To the believer who has a covenant with him, there is nothing to fear. Jesus said, "Keep your head and don't panic. See that you are not troubled." In this four-part series, God is in Control, Kenneth Copeland teaches how men and women of faith should react to the things happening in the earth, how you can walk confidently and stand on God's Word. God's Word, activated by your faith, is how you keep God in control.
Request your free copy of God is in Control, the audio series by Kenneth Copeland, available on MP3 disc or digital download. Speak the Word of God only and stand in faith. Request your free copy at kcm.org/TV special or when you call 800-600-7395. This offer is good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
If you have never accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life, today's the day. You're going to do this today. Easiest thing you've ever done in your life.
Praise
Jesus did all the hard part. He went to hell and he spent 3 days and nights in that horrible place. Suffered like no man has ever suffered before or ever will in the future. Because he was made the curse for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, sweet Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, said in the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, whoever confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in his heart that he's been raised from the dead, he shall be saved. Brother Copeland, you don't know what I've done. Hey, listen. In 1985, or let's see, actually 80, would have been 83, 84. In 1984, in San Antonio, Texas, I baptized Stephen Moran in the county jail, Bexar County Jail. Serial killer, killed over 20 women. I was there the day he was executed. I said, Stephen, I still have carry around in my Bible the prayer that he prayed that faithful day. I said, give me a sign if grace is enough. Listen, that lethal injection, don't get the idea that's easy, because when they start that thing, it makes a loud bang. You know you're going to die here in the next few seconds. And I said, give me a sign. And he's laying there on that gurney and he looked over there at me, two thumbs up. Wait. More than enough. If grace is enough, more than enough. This little book. Well, I'm going to lead you in prayer, and you pray it after me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I believe with all my heart.
I believe with all my heart.
That you raised Jesus from the dead.
That you raised Jesus from the dead.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Take my life.
Take my life.
And do something with it.
And do something with it.
I receive you.
I receive you.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
And I thank you and I repent of all my sin.
And I thank you and I repent of all my sin.
Now that I'm born again by faith.
Now that I am born again by faith.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
To overflowing.
To overflowing.
And I will right now speak with other tongues.
And I will right now speak with other tongues.
As you give me utterance.
As you give me utterance.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
This little book we want to give you. Amen. This is a powerful thing. How to read your Bible through in a year. Glory to God. Just let us know. We'll send it to you free.
The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast study notes will help you dive deeper into these powerful word-based teachings. Get all 5 days of notes at one time. Use them during the week for your personal study time. Download them free at kcm.org/notes. Create a special family devotional time to follow along with the notes as you watch the broadcast. Study the scriptures with your children and begin instilling God's word now. Use these notes to build your faith library and build up a heritage of faith.
Friday is always, as you know, offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Galatians chapter 6, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou be tempted. Bear ye one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Excuse me. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now listen. For every man shall bear his own faults. Let him that is taught in the word communicate or respond unto him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I mean, sin, offerings, whatever he sows. Everything you do is some kind of seed. That's the reason Jesus said, do unto others you'd have them do unto you, because what you do unto others, that's what people are going to be doing to you, Tim. Now, look at this. He that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. Glory to God.
You determine your own crop by the seed that you sow.
Right out of your mouth, right out of your actions.
It works in people's lives. It works in your money. It works in your words.
Everything in life.
Yeah.
Father, we pray over this offering today. In the name of Jesus, reveal to people what is their part of the finances of this ministry, and most especially this television and radio broadcasts that are going out to the world. And we believe the people here, thank you, Jesus, sowing and believing God in this time of trouble. But we thank God you're more than enough. You are the God that's in control of this whole thing for those of us that love you and called according to your purpose. And we thank you. We receive it and bless the people in Jesus' name. We'll see you Monday. Remember this, Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for your faithful support. Now you can text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609.